Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible.
And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with the 12 apostles as we pick up in Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
So we turn now in our Bibles to the 10th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. In the beginning of the 10th chapter, we find Christ sending his disciples out, telling them to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But in the fact that he is sending them to go in the first part of chapter 10 makes the last verse of chapter 9 quite significant. For in the last verse of chapter 9, Jesus said to his disciples, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." And having told them to pray that the Lord will send workers into the harvest, the next thing he says is go. So many times as we pray, the Lord speaks to our own hearts. So many times we see a need and we think, oh, what a need. You know, the church really should be trying to fulfill that need. And we become all concerned with the need. And the Lord says, well, pray about it. And as we pray about it, suddenly we realize that God has called us. He has shown us the need because he wants us to plug ourselves into the filling of that particular need. Many times, the very fact that God has made you conscious and aware of that particular thing is the beginning of the call of God upon your own life for that particular field of service. So the Lord says, pray, because the harvest is plenteous, the labors are few. Pray that the Lord of harvest will send forth laborers into the harvest. And then in the very next section, the Lord says, now you go out into this harvest. And so praying so often prepares us for going. It is while I am praying that the Spirit of God can really get hold of my heart. As I've said, I do believe that prayer changes things, mainly me. I don't think that prayer changes God. I wouldn't really want prayer to change God. I think it would be extremely dangerous if prayer could change God. I think that God knows best in every situation. And I would not want to convince God if I could. I can't. But if I could, I would not want to convince him to see things my way. I would rather that through prayer, the Spirit of God be able to get hold of my own heart and mold me and shape me into that which God has purposed and that which God has designed. So that so often as I say, oh Lord, send forth workers into the harvest, and then I hear the call of God, who will go? And I answer, oh Lord, here am I, send me. And so Jesus said, pray the Lord of harvest, and then he says, now you go. So when he had called unto him the 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. So Jesus is first of all empowering his disciples for that work before he sends them out to do the work. Empowering them against unclean spirits, giving them the power to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now, the names of the 12 apostles, and here they are first called apostles, because of the fact that he is sending them out. And the word apostle means one who is sent. So up to this point, they have been disciples. They have been learning of him. They have been following him and learning as he taught. But now the time has come for them to go out, and they are now being sent by him. And thus the change from disciple, a follower, to an apostle, one who has been sent. And so the names of them, first of all, was Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. And then Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew, the publican, or the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbaeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, and Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. Simon the Canaanite, that word translated Canaanite, is actually Canaanin, and we are told in Luke's gospel that he was Simon the Zealot. Now, Josephus tells us that the Zealots were the extreme patriots. These were men who valued freedom above life itself. These were men who were willing to sacrifice their own lives or even see their own families martyred in order that they might be free. They preferred freedom to life. And they were willing to do whatever is necessary to obtain freedom. They were the ones who rebelled constantly against the Roman government. Simon the Zealot. Matthew, a publican, was considered a quisling by the Jews. He was one that had more or less sold out to the enemy because he was collecting taxes for the hated Roman government. Now, had Simon and Matthew met under any other circumstances, Simon would have done Matthew in. I mean, here you've got a zealot, one who hates the Roman yoke, one who is willing to fight to overthrow it, and you have another one who was almost in league with Rome, a turncoat, so to speak. It's interesting, though, how that Christ takes people from many different backgrounds, even adverse backgrounds, and brings us together in a loving fellowship. Now, it is also interesting to me that as the Lord names these apostles, there aren't really any great, marvelous people among them as far as the world is concerned. None of them are highly educated. None of them are prominent or wealthy. In fact, they're just common, ordinary people. Four of them were fishermen. One was a tax collector. We're not really given much of a background on the others, but they were just plain common people. And that always interests me because these men that God is preparing to send out to do his work are just plain common people like you. And when God has a work to be done, he doesn't really go to the universities to select those with the highest grades and IQs and all, but God chooses and calls just plain, ordinary people like you. It is wrong for any of us to excuse ourselves from serving the Lord because of the fact that we are just so ordinary, because that's the kind of person God seeks to use for his glory. If God used the highly talented, highly developed kind of an individual, then we would all be saying, oh, but don't you know he's got his doctorate? Don't you know he was so brilliant? Don't you know he? And we would be putting the emphasis upon the ability of the instrument rather than upon the one who has used the instrument. we would have a tendency then to glory in man or man's educational processes. So the Lord has chosen the simple things to confound the wise and the foolish things to put to naught the wisdom of this world. And God uses just plain, common, ordinary people like Raul Ruiz and Greg Laurie and Mike McIntosh and Chuck Smith, just the plain, ordinary people to do his work. I love to hear Raul on the radio. I heard Raul this week as he was describing his condition when he was in the Marine Corps. He had been such a vicious killer and had killed so many people that he was brought back and put in the hospital in Vallejo for the mentally deficient. And he said, the psychiatrist said, man, I was far and above beyond gone. That's a typical Raoulism. Ordinary, and yet anointed by the Spirit of God and used by God to do his work. So, not many wise, not many great, not many notable of the world, but just those plain, ordinary people who he sent out as apostles to represent him. These 12 Jesus sent forth. That's what made them apostles. And he commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, or into any city of the Samaritans do not enter, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So by telling them not to go into the way of the Gentiles, he was restricting their area of ministry. They were not to go south into Samaria. They were not to go west over to Tyre and Sidon. They were not to go as far north as Damascus, but they were to go only around the region of the Galilee, not even to the cities of the Decapolis, but only to those Jewish communities around the Galilee. So in the first sending out of the disciples, it was a very restricted area that he gave them to work in. And they were to be forerunners of his coming, for he was going to follow up and to go into each of these villages, and they were more or less the forerunners of his own coming to these villages. So they were sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Paul the Apostle said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to those that believe, to the Jew first. And so Jesus came to the Jew first. And as he was sending them forth now, it was very limited, only to the Jews, not to be going to the Gentiles or to the Samaritans. However, he himself later was to reveal himself to that Samaritan woman. He was to heal the daughter of this Syrophoenician. And finally, he was to tell his disciples, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But it was important in God's plan that the gospel come first to the Jew. And so there was first of all that restricted ministry of the disciples when he was first sending them forth. It was not to the world at this time. It was just among the Jews, not even into the Samaritans, but only to the Jews at this point. Later he said, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be witnesses unto me, not only in Judea, but also in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. But now restricted to the Galilee region, only to those Jewish communities, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Notice it doesn't say the 10 lost tribes of the house of Israel. 10 lost tribes is not a biblical term. There are not 10 lost tribes. God knows exactly where they are and who they are. He's never lost them. And when the time comes, he's going to seal 10,000 from each of the tribes to be, or 12,000 from each of the tribes to be preserved during the great tribulation period. And I discount the attempt to make a Jew out of me because of my English heritage. The business of Denmark being the tribe of Dan and Danmark. And so they are called the Danish people and English. The word ISH in Hebrew is man. So Dan's man, Danish, British, English, foolish. Just because it has an ish on the end doesn't make it Jewish. Now, as Jesus sent them forth, he said, go and preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What is the kingdom of heaven? This glorious phrase. We'll be getting parables about the kingdom in our next study as we get into Matthew 13 and 14. These parables of the kingdom. What is the kingdom of heaven? Jesus said, when you pray, say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. What are we praying for when we pray for the kingdom of heaven? Now, Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is among you rather than in you. But in reality, God's kingdom has come to every man who has acknowledged Jesus Christ as his Lord and King. And if you tonight have acknowledged the Lordship of Jesus Christ, if he is the King of your life, you are already a citizen of the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven has come to you. And as a citizen of the kingdom, there are many tremendous benefits for the citizens of that kingdom. As a citizen of the United States, I have many benefits. Even when I travel in a foreign country, there are certain protections that I have as a citizen of the United States. Should I get into trouble, there are always those embassies to which I can turn, who are there to help the citizens of the United States out of whatever difficulty they might find themselves in. And those within the embassies in these foreign countries will seek to help those citizens of the United States. That's just one of the benefits of citizenship. Just because I'm a citizen, they'll go to bat for me and they'll speak up for me and they will pull strings for me because I'm a citizen of the United States. And the United States has an obligation to guarantee its citizens certain rights, certain privileges. So I enjoy being a citizen of the United States because of those rights and privileges that I have in as a citizen. But I am also a citizen of a kingdom, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. And I'll tell you, the rights and the privileges that I have as a citizen of the kingdom of heaven far exceed the rights that I have and the privileges as a citizen of the United States. Wherever I go, I have protection. I have authority, the authority of the kingdom of heaven behind me. And Jesus is saying, now you go out and preach, saying, the kingdom, herald it, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And they were to demonstrate the aspects of the kingdom of heaven by healing the sick, cleansing the lepers, and raising the dead and casting out the devils. We read in the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 35, some of the aspects of that kingdom age where the lame will leap for joy. The dumb will sing praises unto God, and the blind will behold the glory of the Lord. And the gospel will be preached unto the meek, to the poor. And so Jesus is telling them to demonstrate the aspects of the kingdom by setting men free from the kingdom of darkness. I love the commission that the Lord gave to Paul the apostle when he called him on the Damascus road, and when Paul was talking to King Agrippa and relating to Agrippa that calling of God on the Damascus road, Paul said that the Lord spoke to him to go to the Gentiles to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive the forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So Paul's commission as he went to the Gentiles was to deliver them from the power of Satan unto God, from the power of darkness to light.
Return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Matthew on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Matthew 10 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord be with you. May you have that unusual joy of realizing God's hand is upon my life and He has used me. May God help you to share His love with those that are still sitting in darkness. And may you experience the anointing of God's Spirit upon your life in a new and a very special way as He empowers you to do His work. In Jesus' name.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
As I look around for a godly example of what a Christian woman should be, I see a lot of women who are concerned about what they look like. But rarely do I see a woman who desires the reflection of Jesus Christ. For this very reason, Kay Smith has written a book for women entitled Reflecting God. Kay teaches women godly attributes, such as how to be joyful when things aren't going so great, or how to be sincere when praying for others, or inspiring them, or how to nurture and influence the people God has placed around you. As Kay teaches God's attributes, women will begin to have the mind of Christ. And as this starts to happen within you, outwardly you will become a reflection of God to a world that desperately needs Him. For more information on how to order the book Reflecting God by Kay Smith, as well as an optional study guide to lead a women's Bible study, visit thewordfortoday.org to see a preview of this book, or call us at 800-272-WORD.